At the end of the day, Wednesday, April 19th, Sarah Anderson's elders advised her it was not her time to die, and she decided to end her hunger strike on the note of success that she's had. Welcome to Disrespect, exploring the stigma around disability, providing information and interviews to entertain and challenge listeners who care about, or care for, or may themselves have become someone with a disability. If you listen to The Other Side broadcast prepared for Tuesday, April 18th, this is an update on April the 19th. For those of you who haven't, this is an introduction to Sarah Anderson, an Aboriginal disabled single mother and hunger striker, protesting the McGuinty government's treatment of fixed income recipients. When we called, Sarah was in retreat, seeking advice and support from her elders. We spoke with Representative Gary Kinsman. Disrespect today would like to welcome Gary Kinsman, a member of the Hunger Organizing Committee and a professor at Laurentian University. How are you, Gary?
I'm doing pretty good today.
Okay. Gary is close to Sarah Anderson, who has been on a hunger strike for what, 2.5 weeks now?
2.5 weeks now, yes.
Against the fixed incomes and the marginal increases given by the McGuinty government in 2006. Gary, first of all, I have to inquire after Sarah. How is she doing?
Well, right now she's actually with a number of First Nations elders who are allowing her to clear her mind and to get some support. She's got a difficult decision to make. She has received a letter from Rick Bartolucci, our local Liberal MPP and cabinet minister. She's also received some news about being put onto the Ontario Disability Support Program. So she's trying to weigh whether she's going to continue the hunger strike or not at this point in time. I can't tell you which way it's going to go.
No.
In terms of her general health right now, she's much, much weaker than she was 2.5 weeks ago.
Yeah.
She's extremely tired and lacking in energy.
Yeah.
She's certainly had major impacts of being on the hunger strike. The other thing is because she hasn't been taking her anti-pain medication and she has very extreme forms of arthritis, she's also in an incredible amount of pain, oftentimes, although not always, having to use a wheelchair.
I see. So this is a pretty bold commitment for Sarah, given the disability that she's dealing with. ODSP wait times to qualify are legendarily poor. Do you have any idea why it's taken so long for her to get on ODSP?
Well, four different issues that she's actually raising in her hunger strike. People who have very legitimate disabilities are routinely rejected when they first apply to ODSP. Of course, they already have to be on OW to apply for ODSP, but they're almost always routinely rejected the first time. This is what happened to Sarah when she applied last fall. She was rejected.
But this isn't just a motivational technique. You have to wait before you can apply
again.
Well,
of course, rejections mean waiting.
How long?
She applied last fall. She was rejected. She asked for an internal review. It upheld the rejection. They admit that she has a disability, but they say that they're not convinced that her disability actually is of such a character that it would prevent her from seeking employment or that she should be on ODSP. She then launched an appeal, which was going to be heard on May 9th.
Yeah.
What's interesting is since she started the hunger strike, there was one new piece of medical information that was submitted, a relatively minor piece of medical information relating to her physical disability.
Right.
And in response to that new piece of information that the Sudbury Community Legal Clinic sent in, which is representing Sarah for this appeal, they heard back fairly quickly from ODSP that because of this new information, she was now going to be granted ODSP. So what's really interesting is that in her case, obviously there's been some major political pressure put on,
right,
and they decided to circumvent the usual bureaucratic procedures. So the appeal is canceled, and she's going to be put onto ODSP. Unfortunately, of course, that could take anywhere from a couple of weeks to a couple of months to actually be transferred from OW to ODSP. So that's one of the major issues that she was raising in her hunger strike, that she'd been refused ODSP. But she also knows that many people who have justified disabilities who are on OW are routinely denied access to ODSP. So she wanted to raise that as a general issue, not just about herself.
Yeah.
The other issues are, as you mentioned before, she's...
That is a technique that they use, though, isn't it, to personalize objections as if they only applied to one person. And then the technique that they use to discourage protest and objection is to provide a personal remedy, is basically a buy-off almost.
For sure. I mean, that's also what they've done in relationship to the special dietary supplement, which is another issue that she's raised, and it's also being raised by lots of other people here in Sudbury right now. There's another person on ODSP, in this case, who's actually refusing to take their medications because they've been cut back in terms of the special dietary supplement.
Right.
Sarah Anderson got a miserable amount of the special dietary supplement. In Sudbury, we never actually managed to organize a hunger clinic like they did across southern Ontario. So most people were forced to go to either walk-in clinics or their regular doctors or medical professionals, and they did not get much in terms of the special dietary supplement. There certainly were cases across the province where supportive medical professionals were signing people up for larger amounts of money. That certainly happened to a number of people from Sudbury who we went down to Queen's Park for the major hunger clinic that was organized on the Queen's Park lawn
right.
by the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty. And all of those people got signed up for $250. But in Sarah's case, she went to a doctor through a walk-in clinic early last fall and was only signed up for about $75.
Yeah.
And that's now been cut back by $55. They sent her the new form. She went into the walk-in clinic again. They charged her $40 for filling out the form, and all she's getting on a monthly basis now is $20. What's
so the cutbacks are amounting to about 70%.
Yes, no, I mean, these cuts are massive. I mean, not that it was a large amount of money to begin with, but just imagine $55 being cut from your monthly budget for yourself. And remember, Sarah has a 15-year-old daughter.
Well, imagine 70% being cut from your budget for food is maybe more to the point.
Yeah, no, that's it's quite amazing. Quite despicable that the government's actually doing this. Anyway, last week, OW, her OW worker and the OW worker's supervisor arrived at her door and handed her a check for $55 with no explanation. What's interesting is that's the difference between what she used to be getting on the special dietary supplement and what she was getting right now in terms of the special dietary supplement.
So they didn't even label the check. They didn't say what it was for. It was
I actually looked at the stub and it didn't say at all what it was for. And I've clarified with her worker anyway that this is not a continuing amount of money. What it looks like they've done is because Sarah basically took the new form in, as some other people here have done, immediately and got it filled out and resubmitted it, they're going to allow her to be under the old amount of money for the 3-month period before she would have been cut off. That looks like what's happening.
Yeah.
Now, if that's the case for Sarah, why aren't they doing that for everyone in the province who is having their amount of special dietary supplement cut back? So that's the second issue that Sarah's raising. One is the ODSP question. Another one is the special dietary supplement.
Yeah.
The other major issues, the first and most important one is the social assistance rates themselves.
Yeah.
She was very upset when the budget came down and there was only a 2% increase in social assistance rates.
I think most people on fixed incomes were upset.
Oh, I'm sure they were. I mean, this is, I think people actually felt, especially because of the economic situation and the level of corporate taxation that the provincial government was pulling in, that there was going to be a significant raise in the social assistance rates this time.
Yeah.
And the Liberals clearly decided that people living in poverty and on social assistance were not their priority, and they were basically going to continue to impose extreme conditions of poverty on them and to continue major aspects of the Tory war on the poor.
In fact, impose declining incomes on them.
That certainly is the case.
And then to cut them further.
Yeah.
Despite the Liberals opposing the low welfare rates when they were in opposition, it seems they've continued basically the Harris policies. But more insidiously, it seems they've continued the Harris attempt to criminalize collection of fixed incomes, not in a strictly legal sense, but in the public mind, that they have, the Harris government created an image of people receiving fixed incomes as cheats in spirit, cheats in intent, if not in fact, and cheats in waiting. This also plays against people with fixed incomes. Do you share that point of view?
Well, it seems to me the big difference between the Tories and the Liberals was that the Tories, you know, made, you know, very vicious statements, very vicious, disgusting statements about people on social assistance, the types of comments that Mike Harris made about single mothers raising kids on social assistance were absolutely vile and disgusting.
Yeah.
It seems to me that what the liberals are doing is relying on that type of climate of the war against the poor that the Harris Tories created, but without overtly saying the same types of nasty things about people living in poverty. They are basically continuing the major features of what Mike Harris put in place, the Tory war on the poor. And in some ways, it may actually be a more effective strategy, because what they're able to do is because they're not making so much noise about it as the government, people have sort of forgotten about it as a problem unless you live it, right? Unless you're on social assistance. And what this has meant is that many people under the Harris government who would have been concerned about these questions in the trade unions or in the community more generally or in religious groups, in the churches, have sort of forgotten about this issue and its urgency. And I hope that Sarah, by going on the hunger strike, has helped to wake some people up to the urgency of this situation.
Well, certainly the cabinet, laughing and giggling over the question, seemed to have forgotten the urgency.
For sure. And I mean, part of that may have been motivated by their hostility towards the NDP, which was raising the question. But still, to do that in the presence of someone who's on a hunger strike is quite unconscionable.
Yeah.
Relatively speaking, they're in a worse situation now than they were, at least at the beginning of the Harris government cuts, right?
And I understand
the cost of living as well to consider.
I understand this was debated in the House when the question was raised and Sarah was there. Are you aware of the exchange?
Oh, yes. She was actually raised at Queen's Park twice last week. Shelley Martel on Tuesday raised support for Sarah and concern over Sarah's hunger strike. And then on Thursday when Sarah Anderson was down there for a media conference, a support media conference organized by the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty, by the Canadian Union of Public Employees, by a number of other organizations. She was invited by Michael Prue of the NDP, who's the critic for community and social services, to stay around because he was going to ask a question relating to her hunger strike. So she did stay around with some supporters, and the question was directly asked to the new Minister of Community and Social Services, and basically the response that she got was totally inadequate, and she also felt that when the question was first asked, the members of cabinet turned towards her, and there was a lot of laughing and giggling going on, so she certainly felt quite insulted by the lack of respect they had for her and the question that was asked about her.
And now for a short break from our interview.
To the Harmon, baby, now I stayed a little long. I come back in Obama, found my woman gone. That ain't right. Yeah, that ain't right. You taking all my money, baby, or not having yours ever gone. Yeah, you take my money, baby, don't once every month. You going around everybody, you playing me for a chump, but that ain't right. Yeah, that ain't right. You taking all my money, baby, girl, having you love above. One and one is two, baby, two and two is four. The way you treat me, Henry, be no. Somebody's got to go. That ain't right. Yeah, that ain't right. You taking all my money, baby, or not having yourself a ball. Baby, no, once every month, you going around to anybody, you paying me for a chump, that ain't right. Yeah, that ain't right. You taking all my money, baby, gonna have you come above. That ain't right. declare that ain't right. That ain't right. I declare that ain't right. You taking all my money, baby, God, haven't you ever thought?
Disrespect has been interviewing Gary Kinsman, a professor in sociology at Laurentian University and a member of the Hunger Organizing Committee in Sudbury, about the hunger strike now concluded by Sarah Anderson against fixed income rates.
People wanted to be put back to where they were before the Tory massive cuts to social assistance started in 1995.
Yeah.
There really needs to be an immediate 40% increase in social assistance rates. And that would only bring people back to where they were before. So what the Liberals have done with their initial 3% increase, which it took them a long time to implement because they couldn't figure out how to get the computers to work to actually give people more money rather than take it away. Now with their more recent 2% increase, this is really a slap in the face to people living on social assistance. It's doing nothing to alleviate the incredible distress and hardship that has been imposed on hundreds of thousands of people's lives.
Well, it's 5% over 4 years, too, isn't it? I mean, the 2 plus the 3?
That's 5% since the Liberals came into office, yes. That's all. Given, and if you think about it, they were cut back by 22.6% immediately in 1995, as soon as the Mike Harris Tories were elected as a key plank of their so-called common sense revolution. And if you look at the cost of living, that basically means that people need to get a 40% increase right now to even get back to where they were then.
Yeah.
So that's the central issue in many major ways in Sarah's hunger strike, the straw that sort of broke the camel's back, to use that expression. Sort of the last straw for Sarah was when she got cut back in the terms of the special dietary supplement.
Yeah.
But another aspect of her situation is that last September, on September 1st, she moved from one residence to another, and she basically had to move. The place she was living in was bug-infested. She had been diagnosed as being depressed. And having a number of emotional problems living there, so she felt like she and her daughter needed a better place to live. She found a subsidized housing unit to move to, and she did. All that she was offered by her worker was $90 to assist in some of the traveling expenses. She was not told at that time that she was eligible for a community startup fund.
No, eh?
No, not at all. Of course, what a community startup fund is available for is to allow people to set up a new household. I mean, it could have provided hundreds of dollars for Sarah in terms of support at that point in time, and that was denied to her. So we have submitted an application to OW here on behalf of Sarah in terms of the Community Startup Fund. We have yet to hear back from OW about what their response is. I mean, they could technically argue that it's past the deadline date for requesting this type of special funding, given what's going on, but we're hoping that they'll actually see that Sarah and her daughter need extra financial support and will come through with the Community Startup Fund. So these are the four issues, the special dietary supplement being cut back, her being refused access to ODSP, and the general rejection of people with disabilities from ODSP, the need to raise social assistance rates substantially, and the need for everyone who's moving to be offered a Community Startup Fund. These are the central issues that Sarah's been raising in her hunger strike. She realizes that it's the Ontario government and the Ontario Works and ODSP who placed her in this situation, and that's the reason why she decided that she couldn't endure living in this type of situation without fighting back, and the tactic she decided upon was a hunger strike.
Yeah.
And she's engaged in this hunger strike for a lot of different reasons. She's wanting to draw attention to these issues to try and galvanize support. She's also doing it because she has a really strong sense of Aboriginal spirituality.
Yeah.
She's doing this both for her grandmother, who was the sort of strongest presence when she was growing up in her life, and also is doing it for her daughter. So she feels like it's absolutely necessary to take a stand to try and fight back, and the way in which she's tried to do it is through this hunger strike. We'll see.
Yeah. So you haven't received any commitment from Bartolucci regarding the measures that Sarah is seeking for fixed income recipients at large.
Sarah has received a letter from Bartolucci. I have not yet seen it. What I can tell you is that when Sarah met with Rick Bartolucci and an assistant, and also with Rick Grills, who's the president of CAW Mine Mill Local 598 here in Sudbury, on last Saturday morning, Rick Bartolucci, all he would commit himself to doing is to raising the need to raise social assistance rates in cabinet. but he wouldn't say by any particular percentage point or anything like that. So
It
does look like Rick Bartolucci's really failed people living in poverty, people on social assistance, despite his claims before being elected that he would be a major advocate for people on social assistance.
So Sarah's thinking that this may be a break point for her, that she's got an increase to at least ODSP levels, which nevertheless still entail a cutback in special diet, and that having achieved this, this may be a worthwhile enough achievement to call the hunger strike a success, but this is not a decision that she's come to. It's simply something she's entertaining.
She's thinking about these questions right now. She's thinking about has she taken this as far as she can? Has she got enough out of what she's done so far, or does she need to take it further? Those are the types of questions she's currently trying to think through with the assistance of the First Nations elders.
She certainly has made a difference. I think her hunger strike has been underreported.
Well, it certainly has. Some of the mainstream media, obviously, has decided not to cover it at all. It's been a major local news story here, although it took a long time for the CTV affiliate to cover it. Their first story was actually on Monday night.
Right.
But in terms of the radio stations, in terms of the print media, it's been a major local news story in Sudbury.
Oh.
It's been almost impossible to get it to break into province-wide coverage. It has been on CBC radio, English
right.
radio, and
right.
I believe French radio across the province.
Okay.
But for instance, you know, the Globe and Mail, the Toronto Star have not covered it. The Toronto Sun only covered it tangentially because they reported that Sarah Anderson was one of the speakers at an Ontario Coalition Against Poverty demonstration a week ago Saturday night with the march into Rosedale.
Yes.
So it actually has been sort of blacked out, if you want,
yeah.
for much of the mainstream media. I've actually been a bit surprised at that, but clearly there are certain powerful interests in this province who don't want much attention focused on this issue right now.
Yeah, and I'm sure Sarah's considering that as well. Does she have much medical advice regarding the consequences of continuing?
Well, she has no primary care physician, which is unfortunately all too common for people living in poverty, but it's especially acute here in Sudbury, where there's a real lack in primary care physicians. So
right.
the medical treatment she's relied on for the last period of time has basically been going to walk-in clinics, and we know that that has lots of problems. She's basically been relying on First Nations spiritual assistance and
yeah.
support.
But
she has been seen by... I mean, a number of nurses have paid her visits, and a number of supporters have gone by to monitor her health situation.
So if a doctor accepting Native spiritual values would step forward in support of her, that would be a big step forward if she were to continue.
Yes, and the Hunger Clinic Organizing Committee has made it very clear from the beginning that we're here to support her. She's raising issues that we also are concerned about. We support all of her demands. We didn't advocate that she go on a hunger strike. This is the tactic she chose.
Yeah.
Once she decided to choose it, we've been there fully to support her. But it's her decision to make, so we've made it absolutely clear to her that if she decides to stop now, we support her.
Yeah. How can people keep up to date?
Well, the best bet is to go to certain websites. There's the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty website
yeah.
In Toronto, which I'm sure you have the coordinates for. It's basically... ocap.ca, if I remember right.
Yeah.
And through there, you can also, if you look at their links, you'll find a link to the Sudbury Coalition Against Poverty,
okay.
which will put you in touch with the Hunger Clinic Organizing Committee, and we will try to post the latest information that we have.
Where have they been sending letters that a listener could send a letter as well, or an email? Or?
They've been sending letters to me. I can give you my email address, and
sure.
I can get them to her. She's we've been trying to establish internet hookup for Sarah, but it hasn't yet fully taken
okay.
place. My email address is gkinsman
mm-hmm.
at Laurentian
mm-hmm.
.ca.
Okay.
And I should also point out that Sarah is asking people to sign the online petition for raising social assistance rates and for reinstating the special dietary supplement that's also on the OCAP website, the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty website. And she's calling on people to call Rick Bartolucci, their local MPPs, and Dalton McGuinty to demand that her demands be met.
Very good.
If Sarah does decide that she's taken the struggle as far as she can, one of the things we want people to learn from this is that taking action, you know, even the type of extreme action of a hunger strike does bring results.
Mm-hmm.
She would not have got onto ODSP without taking this action.
That's true.
She would not have got, even temporarily, reinstated the special diet supplement money. So it really is, I hope, a lesson for everyone across the province who's living in poverty that if you have been treated badly, if you're upset about the amount of funding you're getting, you really need to get active, you need to get involved. You don't necessarily need to engage in a hunger strike, but it does show you that sort of rocking the boat, taking action, acting up, making noise, making your voice present and clear can actually bring some really positive results. And hopefully this can really make a difference in terms of putting as much pressure as we can on the provincial government to come through with a significant raising of the social assistance rates and the reinstatement of the previous special dietary policy.
Wouldn't that be a tribute to Sarah?
It certainly would.
Thanks again, Gary, for your time today.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
At the end of the day, Wednesday, April 19th, Sarah Anderson's elders advised her it was not her time to die, and she decided to end her hunger strike on the note of success that she's had. On Wednesday, April 26th, at 1 p.m., at First Pilgrim United Church, 200 Main Street East, John Clark of the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty will speak to the Campaign for Adequate Welfare and Disability Benefits and discuss OCAP's work in the Raise the Rates campaign, OCAP's march on Rosedale on April 8th, and a discussion of the Campaign for Adequate Welfare and Disability Benefits future tactics. For more information, you can call 905-525-4953, 905-525-4953, or email weyr@hwcn.org, weyr@hwcn.org. At the middle of the show, you heard blues pianist Henry Gray and That Ain't Right. And at the end of the show, Henry's House Rocker from Henry Gray Plays Chicago Blues. Disrespect is now archived on the web at www.radioforall.net. That's not the word for, that's the number, radioforall.net. You can now download and listen to the show whenever you want to hear Disrespect. Disrespect also has a new broadcast calendar at www.calendric.com/disrespect. That's calendric, calendric.com, where you can go, hopefully, to find out what next week's broadcast is going to be. Disrespect will be back next week. The show is digitally edited from live telephone and studio interviews.